Hey, good morning. Welcome, everybody in the room. Hello. Everybody who's tuning in online, we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad you're part of the community, and we want you to be part of the discussion. So make sure that you say hello in the chat if you're experiencing this live, and if you're listening to it afterward, then we invite you to participate in the live experience when you have the opportunity. That'd be wonderful to be part of the discussion. Part of what we're convinced of here is that life change is less likely to happen in rows and more likely to happen in circles, in community, in conversation. So we want to make sure that you have opportunities to be part of a conversation. One of the ways that we do that at New Day is to have small groups that do a 14-week experience in the fall, and then starting at the beginning of the new year, another 14-week experience. And we have opportunities to do that online, and we have opportunities to do that in person. One of the guys who was involved in an online group ended up moving from another part of the country to this area because he realized it's going to be that much richer of an experience in person. It will change your life, apparently. I mean, that's what the evidence is bearing out. We're going to experiment a little bit, put up on the screen a QR code that you can just scan it right now if you're saying, yeah, I want more information. Even if you're not sure that a small group experience is something that you want to connect with. And when I say small group, I mean a handful of people getting together in a living room or in an online discussion and asking questions like, what are you thankful for this week? What's stressing you out? How can we pray for each other? What are you learning? What's God teaching you? What are you going to do about it? And encouraging each other, that's called discipleship. So we want to make sure that you have that opportunity. So you can scan that QR code to plug into a small group. There are other opportunities at the table, or giving is something we do. We want to disciple towards generosity, prayer requests. We want to pray for each other. So just engage in the community at whatever level you're comfortable with. Push it a little bit to the next level. A little bit of discomfort is good for you. We're in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, and it's the good part. Like, when I think about the book of Revelation, there's like the first couple of chapters where there are these letters to the seven churches, and we go, okay, that's kind of accessible, we can understand that. And then there's the last two chapters that are about a new heaven and a new earth, and it gives these wonderful promises. And then there's all this stuff in between that we've been digging through for the last few months. And I'm glad to be at a point where we can see some hope, where we can have this picture of renewal. And that's our key idea today, is to let the hope of renewal, even in a time where you feel empty or you feel dry, where you're having a hard time knowing what's really important, am I really significant, does this mean anything? Let the hope of renewal be your fuel for today, for the next day, for this week, for this year. Let the hope of renewal be your fuel. Now, anybody who knows that I just spent a few days with a handful of pastors from around the country, you're like, oh, I can tell he spent time with pastors because this one rhymes. So next time I'll have a big idea. I'll make sure to use alliteration like a good preacher does, and every word will start with the same consonant, letter, or sound. That's what happens when I hang out with preachers. You're welcome. So let's pray and read from chapter 21 of Revelation. God, we do pray that you would be speaking to us through your word. God, I don't want people to just learn what you've taught me. You have a lesson for each of us today. You have things that you'd like to correct in our lives. You have ways that you want to encourage us through your promises. I pray that we would each be open to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 21, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." This weekend marks the 16th anniversary, or the 16th birthday of New Day. Planted in 2006, and before we even launched the church, we had an invite card that said on it, "Burned out" on the front. It had a picture of like a tree in a desert that was all dried up and had been burned. It said, "Burned out," and then you turn it over, and it said, "Does anybody remember this card? Anybody, were you around it?" Yeah, there are some people who remember. Do you remember what it said on the other side? It was 16 years ago. You were 4 years old at the time, I think, right? Yeah. Burned out, start fresh. That was the promise of planting a new church, a fresh start. That's what our name is about, New Day. God's mercies are new every morning. Thank God for a clean slate. This is what we celebrated last weekend when we had people who were baptized. It's a death to the old and a birth of something new. So this promise of renewal of all things is immense. There are times where all of us feel burned out for one reason or another. It happens in various cultures for different reasons. I got a cup of coffee from the Keurig this morning, and man, it is an immense hardship when I've got to add water to the reservoir, right? When you're like, all I want to do is put this pot in here and cup, and then put my cup. I got to walk all the way to the refrigerator to get water to put in here. And it requires filtered water, so sometimes I have to fill up the pitcher. I have to walk all the way to the sink. Oh, it just stresses me out. I have a picture here of my daughter, Howie, having a cup of coffee. Different culture. So she's in the middle. She grew up for the first 12 years of her life in Ethiopia. And this is a picture of her returning back to the village where she grew up after spending time in the United States and learning English and learning how to use a Keurig. So she came back from this trip, spending a couple of months in the village where she grew up. And I love asking, what did you learn? What's different? What can I learn from your experience there? And I asked her this when we were in the kitchen. I think we were making a cup of tea. But here she's having a cup of coffee, and I got to learn about the process. So in this village, they do have coffee plants within walking distance. So you walk to the plant, you pick the berries, and then you have to take the seed. It's not officially technically a bean, it's a seed. You take the seed away from the berries, so you got to separate it. And then you got to walk to the community water source and fill up a bucket with water and bring it back, because you're going to need that water for a couple of different things. The first thing you're going to need it for is to wash those seeds. Put them in a basin, wash the seeds. And then you got to walk to gather wood to make a fire. So you're going to make a fire like at your home, on the floor or just outside of your, it's essentially a hut. So you build a fire, because now that you've washed the seeds, now you need to roast them. So you get a pan, you roast the seeds, and then you put the seeds into a hollowed out stone or like a stump. And you take a big stick, and usually you like call over a friend to help out with this. We have some video of my daughter Howie doing this, where they put some music on so that they could rhythmically, they pound those seeds. They can't just plug in something to do the job for them. They pound the seeds, and then once they are fully, completely mashed and obliterated, then you get some of that water and put it in a pot, and then put the pot on the hot coals that you have and let that heat up, and you put in your ground coffee and let that heat up. And once that's hot enough, you have made one pot of coffee. And you can sit with your friends with a small cup of coffee, because nobody's going to go through all that work and then hog a big cup. You sit with your friends with a small cup of coffee. She said the first couple of weeks that she was in Ethiopia, she said she was pretty bored, because, like, okay, so you make a cup of coffee, and then you sit down and look out at the woods. And I said, well, what happened after a couple of weeks that made it less boring? She said, I made friends. There are cultures where you have to work really hard for a cup of coffee, and you have to work with other people if you're really going to make any sense of the thing, and then you make friends. And it's not like everything's perfect. In cultures that where scarcity is an issue, it sometimes the people who were your friends, you could end up competing with them for resources, and that can burn somebody out, let alone all the work you have to do to just do something that for us seems as simple as a cup of coffee. So that's a culture where scarcity can be an issue. For us, abundance can actually cause us to burn out. Going to the grocery store and trying to decide what you're going to get from the shelf, like, that just paralyzes me when there's so many options. It sounds silly. It sounds ridiculous. There are also issues that come from a culture of abundance where if we don't feel like we need other people, it can be easy to feel like we don't need God, and it can be easy to feel like other people don't need us. And we start to wonder,
well, what's my contribution? Am I valuable? Does anybody care? If I weren't here, would it make any difference to anyone? And this can stress us out, can burn us out. When you're feeling those feelings, when you're getting burned out, this picture that we get from the revelation of renewal, whether you come from a culture where scarcity is an issue or you come from a culture where abundance is an issue, there are promises in this revelation, in this vision of renewal that can fuel you for today. The original audience of the revelation of Jesus the King, they probably had a mix of people, some living in abundance and some living in scarcity. We see that the letters in the beginning of the book of Revelation are written to churches in particular cities, and these cities had prosperity in them. People were benefiting from being part of the economic and political systems of their day. So they're kind of like us in that way. To those who are living in abundance, God reveals in the revelation that the abundance of this world is not to be trusted. That's a message for us today. The abundance of this world is tied to this image that we see in Revelation of Babylon, a city of corruption and greed and oppression. The revelation makes it clear that as you participate in this, you are a part of that, and it's going to be destroyed. There's also an image of the power structures that keep us comfortable as a shameful harlot, a woman who is a dressed like a prostitute and who prostitutes herself to the kings and to the merchants and to the people who run the power structures. So now in the revelation, now that Babylon has fallen, now we'll see the true abundance, the renewal of all things. We'll see the city where God dwells rather than the city of Babylon. We'll see the bride who is truly richly adorned, not the harlot. And we'll find that we matter to God. Both scarcity and abundance can wear us down at different points and in different times in our life. The revelation of Jesus the King meets us where we are and gives us a reason to overcome those obstacles. Let the hope of renewal be your fuel. This idea of all things being new was not a new idea to the first audience of the revelation of Jesus the King. If we go back hundreds of years earlier to the prophet Isaiah, we read in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Now I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind." So there's this promise from God through the prophet of renewal even back then. And what John is showing us in the revelation is a clearer picture of what that looks like. Revelation 21:1, the New American Standard Bible. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea." We see references to this renewal also in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around you is going to be destroyed like this, You shouldn't recycle or reduce your dependency on fossil fuels. No, that's not what Peter says. I'm just checking to like make sure that you're listening here. Although I've heard that message from people who say, because the earth is going to be destroyed, we shouldn't really be concerned about destroying it right now. Like, well, what does it really matter? I've heard evangelical leaders say it's all going to burn as a way to justify not being good stewards of the earth. That's not what I hear Peter saying here. What I hear him actually say in verse 11 is, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. This sounds like fuel. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. When he says what holy and godly lives you should live, I take that to mean to be people of generosity, not consumption, to live lives of good stewardship, not reckless abandonment. Like thinking of others as more important than ourselves and acknowledging that what I do does have an effect on other people. So there's this complete dismantling and rebuilding of the universe as we know it, a renewal. What's this thing in Revelation about there no longer being any sea? That's kind of a weird thing, right? Once again, the angel in charge of public works gets some bad news. It's like a pink slip, like, okay, your job is done, dude. No longer any sea. If we think back to ancient people, and if you imagine yourself as a person who lives in a culture where they didn't have the technology we have today to go underwater and see into the depths, it just was a total mystery, and nobody knew how deep it really went. It could go on forever. And then the breadth of the sea. Like, if you go too far from land, you might not come back. So there's a mystery and a fear about what's under and what's beyond. And I think what this revelation is communicating to the first audience that we can take from it today is not the message that, you know, there's no longer orca whales. I think the message is this is a renewal where there is nothing to fear, where there's no depth that is unplunged, where there's no distance that is unknown. You don't have to be afraid. And then we see that there's a new city, Revelation 2, and I saw the holy, or Revelation 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle, that just means tent. The NLT says, dwelling of God is among his people. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Do you get the idea that God being among, so this said three different times, is an important piece of this. And he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This should give us something to look forward to. This should give us hope for a future that God has in mind. This should let renewal be our fuel for today. There will be healing. There will be peace. There will be justice. There will be renewal. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we see in the Revelation is that the gap that we imagine between heaven being up and earth being below, that gap is gone. Heaven and earth become one. They become intertwined. It's the ultimate answer and fulfillment of the prayer that God's kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is going to happen. And we see a contrast to old Babylon. The contrast is new Jerusalem. Now, heaven isn't for everyone. As we continue looking back at verse 5, he who sits on the throne, behold, I'm making all things new, is what he says. And then he says, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. I want us to park on this for a moment because we can go past it fairly quickly. However, the Alpha, the beginning, it's the first letter in the Greek alphabet. God is the origin of all things. The Omega, the last letter in the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end. He is the fulfillment of all things. God is everything. And if you take some time to kind of meditate on that and consider the enormity of God, the power, the omnipotence of God, then God can start to seem really distant. He's greater than us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. He can seem very distant. And yet that's counterbalanced with this. I will give water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He is immense. He is powerful. And he cares about you. God cares for you. You matter to him. That is a powerful truth. Verse 7, the one who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This adoption into God's family is promised to Abraham in Genesis 17:7. It's promised to David in 2 Samuel 7:14. Last week we saw it promised to the coming Messiah in Psalm 2:7. Now it's promised to everyone who overcomes. From every tribe, every language around the world, it's promised to you. That you are adopted into God's family when you trust Jesus for forgiveness and new life. Your identity is a child of God, a citizen of heaven. That is good news. There is bad news as well. Verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers, and sexually immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this list of sins looks to me like God covering all his bases. If you look at this list and don't find yourself on it, you're not looking hard enough. You're not understanding the teaching of Jesus, where some people said, well, at least I've never murdered anyone. And he said, if you have hated someone in your heart, this is equal to murder. If you call someone a fool, you're in danger of the fires of hell. We were just on our way here this morning, and there was a sign, a yard sign, that said our president is an idiot. And I was like, call someone an idiot? You're in danger of the fires of hell. If you think you're exempt from this list, you're not looking at it closely enough. God is covering the bases on this list. So, how do any of us have any hope? Well, our hope is not in what we have done to earn salvation. Our hope is in the forgiveness and the redemption that comes from Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. While all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, those who are given a new life in Christ find their identity in him, not in their sin. So yes, I have given in to fear, but I'm not a coward. I am a child of God. Yes, I have struggled with doubt, but I am not an unbeliever. I am a child of God. I have done worthless, hateful, immoral things. I was going to tell you about some of them, but we're like running out of time. So I'm just going to, I got to move on. I got to skip these pages. But these things do not define me. I am a child of God. In college, I read the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass for the first time, and I've read it a couple of times since then. Frederick Douglass was an enslaved person in pre-Civil War United States, and he learned to read and write and eventually gained his freedom and became a really important voice in the abolition of slavery. There was a turning point in his journey where he stood up to someone who was going to beat him. I'm going to read to you from the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass. It was a glorious resurrection. From the tomb of slavery to the heaven of freedom, my long-crushed spirit rose, cowardice departed, bold defiance took its place, and I now resolved that, however long I might remain a slave in form, the day had passed forever when I could be a slave in fact. Let me read that again. However long I might remain a slave in form, the day had passed forever when I could be a slave in fact. He might look like a slave. He realized, though, that his identity is not a slave. When you accept the free gift of forgiveness offered by Jesus, you are made new. The old has passed away. In many ways, you will remain a sinner in form, but the day has passed forever when you could be a sinner in fact. That is not your identity. So in the renewal of all things, even the residue of sin that we struggle with today is going to be burned away. But those whose identity is rooted in anything except Jesus Christ will find that they have rooted themselves in hell itself. Now, people debate whether hell is eternal, conscious suffering, or if it's ultimately annihilation of everything and everyone who's defied Jesus, the King. Let's just agree that the outcome for those who endure in their faith in Jesus is greater than we can even imagine. And the fate of those who fail to be allegiant to Jesus, the King, is worse than we can conceive. If not for the length and depth and time of the suffering, then for the loss of the greatness of heaven. So what are we going to do about it? Believe. Believe that there's more to life than the molecules and the matter and the synapses that combine to make you who you are. Believe that there's a purpose and a plan, and that the planner who gives you purpose cares for you, wants good things for you, has a plan in place for those good things to happen. That's the revelation of Jesus the King. Believe that he loves you so much, he gave his son, the lamb who was slain, to take the penalty for all the ways that you've strayed from him. Believe and trust that following the example and the instructions of Jesus is the best way to live, even when it's difficult. Believe, receive his Holy Spirit to grow you and to guide you, to unite you in communion with God, with other believers throughout history and around the world and in this community and in this room and in a small group around a table wherever two or more are gathered. to people who have humbled themselves before God and admitted their sinful condition and trusted Jesus as the King of their lives, the call is to endure. However long you might remain a sinner in form, the day is gone forever when you are a sinner in fact. You are a child of God. You are destined for a home with Him. Nothing you trust on earth for your safety and security will go with you, only the souls of other people who repent. So how will you trust God this week? What testimony of God working in your life can you share? There are some promises in Scripture that I want to leave us with today. Listen for the promise of renewal that will be your fuel as you believe and endure. Isaiah 66, 22, and I'm just like continuing on some of the passages that I read earlier. As surely as my new heavens and new earth will remain, so will you always be my people, with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. All humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. 2 Peter 3:13 and 14. But we're looking forward to new heavens and new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. So what are you willing to do with what God is teaching you today? How will you make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight? I want to give you some time to reflect about that, because I don't know where you are. I don't know what God wants to teach you and how He wants you specifically to apply it today. So what we do at New Day is we give you a little gift of a few minutes to consider that, to reflect on that. What is God teaching you today, and what are you willing to do about it? And I know this is a time where it's tempting to like check out and be like, well, I'm not learning any new insight from the pastor, so I might as well do whatever. This is where transformation happens, where you give God some time and some space to show you what He has for you. So we're going to play some music. We'll have this verse up on the screen. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. What does that look like for you this week? What are you willing to do about it? Take a few minutes, and then we'll catch up after those couple of minutes. Thank you.
lights. So I was challenged to pray a little differently, and as I reflected on this message about renewal being my fuel, I said I will pray about decisions. I've got like a kind of a big decision in particular that I need to pray about, and I need to really question and wrestle with, is it rooted, is my conclusion going to be rooted in my identity as a citizen of heaven, or is it firming up my attachment to the power structures of this world? Navigate the decision with those things in mind. That's what I'm going to do. We're going to take some time to discuss what did God reveal to you that you need to do this week in order to more closely follow the example and the teachings of Jesus the King. So we're going to take time to discuss that in this room, and we're going to leave time for discussion to happen in the chat. So we'd love for you, if you're tuning in live right now, to share what is God bringing to the forefront to you, and what are you willing to do about it. Let's pray as we go into that time. God, we thank you for a time and a space and a community where we can sharpen each other and we can learn from you. We pray that you'd be glorified by our desire to follow Jesus more closely. And we pray that you give us the strength to overcome challenges. You give us the faith to endure and to take how you're leading and turn it into a testimony of how you're working in our lives so that more people can hear the good news of Jesus the King, and more people will be part of your new heaven and new earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take some time to reflect, and we'll catch up with you next week as we continue beginning in the end part of Revelation, which is a new beginning until we're to the end.